We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
We talk fantasy football. What are we at? Week 15 here?
This is week 15. You betcha.
Playoffs time. Now I think every league is in the playoff. Unless you're in a all-season format or in an aggregate points format, which do exist. There are some weird, funky leagues out there always. So, of course, sometimes those will be fun to do. But unless you're in that, you're in your fantasy football playoff run. That's where we sit. We had six teams this year. If you've been following us all year, five of the six made the playoffs. One that didn't make the playoffs was kind of a dispute from Mark, but we decided to leave it because it's a free league, and they ended up as the first place team in the Constellation bracket. I'm Mo. That's Brett.
That's right.
Mention that part. So we had buys last weekend, or games that didn't matter, and one game that we thought mattered, and we thought we'd lose the playoffs, and somehow we managed to squeak in anyway, so that's good. So this is it where we were talking this morning. We had some disputes about just some internal, I don't know if disputes is it. I want to have on some of the more interesting plays this upcoming week. But this is really where it gets fun. And what we're already finding is if you notice our success this season has come largely from the streaming factor and the idea that it's not the player, it's the play. And now that's coming to a head in that some of our best players have the bad plays. And do you have the guts to stick with what got you this far and sit them, or do you not? And that's where it's like, this is a test of faith now. And what direction do we go?
Well, I think the thing is that it's always a big question of, you know, we've never been too afraid to sit good plays. It's just a matter of, like, how high up will it
go? It's easier knowing you have another game, though.
Yes, it absolutely is. Knowing that there's a chance. I mean, this definitely makes for, lose it, and you're losing it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, one of the interesting things that we've done this week is for those teams that were on bye last week that were already in the playoffs, we kind of went and we noted the three key positions, quarterback, tight end, and defense, the positions that we typically stream. We went and added up all the totals, and then we checked them versus the actual positions, took actual position totals for the same volume of games, and we kind of came up with how our overall plays would have actually stacked up.
Is it our streaming in there that's leading to the success? Does it skew it just that you have better players in other positions because you didn't have to waste early draft picks on them? How is it this has led us to do the 700 winning percentage? And kind of just trying to figure it out a little bit further and understand how it works so we can be more successful with it, so can you next year.
Yeah, and I think in fairness, a lot of it comes down to the ability to get the players in other positions, because one league, which kind of skews everything, really skews towards that viewpoint. So I'll bring up the document here.
You bring up the document, you're the man with it, you tell me what's going on.
So in Elite Fantasy Football, in the quarterback position...
Team name? Quicksand Candy.
Quicksand Candy, that's right.
Why? I don't know. We just throw a couple names together till we get something we like.
Because that's the way it is, yes. Now, in that league, and to keep in mind, we did play the same quarterback 6 times overall in the league.
Because he was A, the better quarterback, and B, he had the better matchup.
Yes. Now,
Cam Newton,
yes. We scored 316.3 points overall for a per game average of 24.3.
We were sitting him early in the season often.
We absolutely did. He sat the first 2 weeks. Now, we came in overall as the seventh ranked. We would have had the seventh ranked quarterback if one player had played the entire run.
Yeah, so our overall quarterback scoring is seventh.
Yes.
In the league. Not bad for a streaming position.
Not at all.
Again, why would you waste an early round draft pick if we can have mid-range QB1 numbers from guys that we're all drafting late? But again, we got lucky. We got a top-notch guy. Nobody knew he'd be that good.
Yeah.
But again, there's always seems to be a top-notch guy who's coming off a poor year that falls to that point. It seems to happen every year. We just got lucky enough to get him this year. But the fact that we only have Cam Newton once, and this is where it will be interesting to see where we sit in these other ones.
Now, in the tight end position on Elite, now, most of the time, almost the entire season, we played Jimmy Graham, with the exception of, well, of course, after he got injured, but with the exception of a couple of points.
Yeah.
We played Jimmy Graham. Now, we finished with 139 points, 10.69 per game average, which was ninth overall on the tight end scale. Now, that tells me right there, we blew a draft pick on Jimmy Graham.
We did, because we could have probably had similar production by taking somebody in the 12th round, as we did by taking him in, what, round 3 or 4?
Yeah, I think it was round 3 or 4, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's again, yeah, you got tight end 1 value technically, but if you look at per draft position, you're looking for a guy who, if he's ranked anywhere below, if you're 4th, you better be 4th or higher if you're gonna draft a tight end that early. And that's why the tight ends are a problem. And again, I bet you the games where we didn't play him, we probably did similar numbers to the games where we did play him. And also, like I say, there'll be other positions, I bet you, where we finished higher at the tight end and we didn't have him.
Absolutely. Now, with the defense, in this case, it was one of those... Defense is a position we typically stream. Now, we drafted the Carolina defense a lot because they had a great first 4 weeks. Now,
with the intention to drop them after the first 4 weeks.
Absolutely.
But we're not idiots.
No, we're not idiots. And here's the funny thing is, so we wound up playing the Carolina defense all but 2 weeks of this season.
Yeah.
Now, they finished 100, our defense has finished 145 points, 11.15 points per game average, and wound up being the fourth rank. Now, I know that the Carolina defense is first rank, so essentially we kind of, by streaming, we lost a few positions.
Yeah, well, one time you have to stream, obviously, yeah, on bye, and yeah, you know, it looks like we did well that week anyways, but, or maybe we didn't. No, it looks like one week we did well, but I'm not sure if that was the bye or not. And 1 week we actually got killed there.
Yeah.
I think fourth rank is pretty good, though, considering that we're never drafting a defense before we hit double digits.
We don't draft defenses prior to really the last three rounds even.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move over to Fantasy Bowl, where we have the great Budgie.
The great Budgie.
Now,
that's a name that's been around for years.
Absolutely. Now, in this case, again, we played Andy Dalton at the quarterback position a fair bit. I mean, more than half of the time. And he's played really well. He's had an excellent season. But there was still...
But it was never the intention to.
No.
It was, again, the intention, oh, he's going to start off hot with a great matchup.
Yeah.
And there was still first 3 weeks, he didn't.
Yeah.
It was just that we liked the matchup enough in the fourth game, and then he was playing well enough that we decided to keep him around. But
and, you know, in fairness, he... Even the games that he played for us, he threw up some stinkers, no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, we finished with 233 points there for a 17.92 per game average. Now, here's the clincher, is that touchdowns are only worth 4 points, so quarterbacks have less value. Now, we wound up with the 10th...
Another reason though why we decide not to spend early traffic
on for sure. But we wound up with the 10th ranked quarterback overall there. And that was, you know, Andy Dalton finished higher than that. But, you know, again, it's
But I'm not difficult. Displeased, though, because I believe we took Andy Dalton 15th or 16th quarterback off the board.
Yes.
And so if you're looking at value per where he was drafted, per the fact that that allowed us to go high and get several wide receivers and running backs that we felt comfortable with, you know...
Well, and again, if you're going to draft in double digits and you're going to wind up with the 10th overall fantasy quarterback,
mm-hmm,
I'm perfectly acceptable with that. Like, yeah, that's fine. tight end.
You're perfectly acceptable with
I
that?
I am perfectly acceptable. I am unanimous in this.
Oh, okay.
For tight end, you know, we struggled out of the gate in tight end. And we got very lucky because somebody dropped Delanie Walker, and that allowed us to kind of finish the season with him. Now, we finished with 145 points, good for 11.15 per game. We were only the 9th ranked overall. And yes, the tight end was a problem in this league because there wasn't that many. But we still finished 9th overall and then finished with Delanie Walker. So you cannot draft a tight end and wait, stream them, and then when you find that guy...
The team finished, what, like 10-2 or something like that? Or 10-3?
10-3, yep.
Again, if you... But, I mean, what we're never seeing is we're never seeing ourselves drop to... You know, like the 13th or 14th, where it's not, you're not even got averaging a starter. You know,
not
we're
yet.
Always averaging a starter, and then again, our running back and wide receiver points would be, you know, top three in the league. So,
now on the defensive side, again, this is where we started out with the Carolina Panthers for the first 4 weeks, and then we streamed out because we wound up trading the Carolina Panthers for Doug Martin, which I would do any day still.
Yeah, so, despite how good they have been,
yes.
I would still do that.
Yes. So
the number one defense with the number two running back, guess who I'm taking?
Yes. So we scored 101 points for an average of 7.77 points per game, but we still wound up tied for 8th
mm-hmm.
as far as the defensive rank goes. Again, for a position that you draft in the last two rounds, last two or three rounds, 8th, not a bad place.
Not a bad place.
All right, now in fuzzies, this is where it gets really interesting, and this is where I kind of point to the other players that you're getting being of more value.
Yeah.
So in fuzzies, and what's our team name there, Mo?
They're the Tactical Sucker.
Tactical Sucker. Yep.
Tactical, not sucker.
Nope.
Sucker. Yep. Tactical.
That's
Sucker.
Right. Now here,
a new team name this year, perhaps my favorite.
Here we finished. As far as quarterback goes, and we struggled mightily with quarterbacks because quarterbacks, large bench, quarterbacks were taken a lot. We wound up with 250.2 points, 19.25 points per game average. But in this case, that ranked us 17th overall. So we were out of real QB1 territory for most of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, what it is that we had one game where a guy put up 1 point. And that threw the whole thing off.
Yeah,
I think we had two games where we only had 1 point. Didn't we?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No, I mean, we had a couple of clunkers. We had 10 points, 9.5 points, 6.9.
Okay, I'm reading that wrong. Okay, I see.
We wound up, you know, but we had one game with 41 points. But, and then let's move on to tight end. Now, again, tight end, we played...
This is where we had Ladarius Green and,
yes,
and
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates, we played.
And Vernon Davis was the other draft pick we took earlier mm-hmm. in the season, I believe.
Now, Antonio Gates wound up playing 4 of those games, for sure. Like because he was injured, we sat him. We also have Barnage, who played a few.
Who we picked up, though, almost midway through the season.
Now, the interesting thing about this, and that I didn't include Barnage's numbers in this, because we played Barnage in a flex position, and so I actually counted him as what would have been a wide receiver, because a lot of times we played him and Antonio Gates, but I included Antonio Gates as the strict tight end in that case.
Yeah.
So now... We finished with a monstrous 174.5 points, 13.42 points per game average, and we wound up with a 6th ranked tight end. And I think if you had included Barnage's numbers, then you probably would have, well, it would have skewed even
higher.
And
again, where are we drafting Gates, Ladarius Green, Barnage, who we're not drafting at all, Vernon Davis, who we did draft but late and then dropped. We're allowed to... Like, if you can get... You only have to get the value out of one of them if you're going to go late on these positions.
Absolutely.
Like, we did not get it from the quarterback. That's fine.
Yep.
We did get it from... And that, part of that was just... I think it's not even the quarterbacks that we have. Like you say, I mean, there's a lot of guys that just weren't... It was hard to stream because the bench, a large bench, that just wasn't the guys to stream on the waivers. But also partially that it took a while before you go, okay, Mariota's for real type of deal, right? What we're seeing, though, is it's okay if you're 17th in one, if you can be 6th in the other. You combine the two, and you're like, okay, we're solid there. And we did it without wasting draft picks, allowing us to load up. And this is where we have Julio Jones, Antonio Green, Chris Ivory. We had Le'Veon Bell here, and now unfortunately got injured.
But AJ Green.
I think I said Green, didn't I?
You said Antonio Green.
Oh, did I?
And we don't.
He's a hell of a player.
Yes. Yes, if you
Macklin. I think we have Keenan Allen here? I think we did at one
yes,
point.
Yes, we did.
So, I mean, that just let us load up like mad. And those players where they're the higher scoring positions. And obviously, this team finished 9-4, and we kind of were really screwing around with the last game. We're 9-3, and we were playing around for fun because we'd already qualified a rank of a first round bye, so we could have easily finished 10-3.
And another thing was this was.
We've lost Le'Veon Bell and
Keenan Allen,
and I still feel like we're the favorites for the championship. That's because of the depth we're able to get in the more valuable positions.
This was an auction league as well, so that certainly helped us out.
Yeah.
And again, kind of proves the strategy. I'll finish off with the defense where, I mean, it was flat out awful.
That's right, it was. We were spending like $2 on Gates and $1 on Green and $1 on Davis. Yeah.
So defense, we scored 91 points for an average of 7 points per game. We had the 18th ranked defense. I mean, it was pretty awful there. There was one game where we had -2 points out of a defense. It got a lot better near the end of the season where we were actually able to look at the strength of schedule numbers and kind of gain a better idea. But in fairness, most of the early and middle part of the season was very bad.
And again, that's also partially because of the deep bench. Means the streaming defenses in this particular league is more dangerous because there isn't the same amount of guys out there.
No, because a lot of teams had two defenses on there.
Even three defenses. Yeah. But again, that's not good, but you look at the other players we got because of that, and those are the more valuable positions, it worked out.
Well, and that's why I say this is kind of the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah.
Now I'll finish off with Bluegrass Warhead, and now this is the other auction league that we did in NFL. This was kind of where we were playing around a little bit. Very interesting. So we finished off at quarterback. We finished off with 328.24 points. We played Philip Rivers for 4 of those games. 25.25 points per game average. We had the 5th ranked quarterback overall, and we streamed entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
That's awesome.
That's a great total. This is, of course, the funny one where we didn't wind up in the playoffs.
But we were the second or third highest scoring team in the league.
Yes.
So sometimes you just are the team that gets scored against a lot. It's just luck.
Now, here at tight end, we struggled for a long time to find a consistent tight end. And we finally did gather a tight end off the waiver wire
in
Ben Watson, and he played 5 of the games for us. But, I mean, we still streamed a little bit, but for the most part, he was the best play in those times. 122.9 points for a 9.45 point per game average, 11th ranked tight end, which is still, you know, a tight end one.
Yeah, exactly. It's a low-end tight end one, but it's a low-end tight end one that we didn't have to spend a draft pick on that could have been valuable. And we needed the draft picks. We needed the depth at wide receiver. Like, this is where we had Landry and Hilton and Marshall here. And we needed it at because our running backs with Hill and Murray and Matthews did disappoint us. So but because we kept on grabbing running backs because of this and wide receivers, we were able to have the depth to make a run after all.
And as far as defense goes, we streamed entirely through, finished with 114 points, 8.77 points per game, 8th ranked defense in this league.
Yeah. So what we're seeing is you're going to, sometimes if you stream the whole way on quarterback, tight end, or I'd say it looks like to about 66% of the time where it's working out, 33% of the time we're failing. But you know what? Your regular draft picks are probably about the same percentage. If not worse. And we're doing it with, here we have 4 defenses. 3 of them finish really as a defense one. None of them finish as a low-end one. One finishes a high-end one. And then one finished outside, ranked 18th, like you said. But that's 3 out of 4 what we hit on. That's a 75% win percentage. Same thing with those tight ends, you know, or they.
Well, I have the aggregate for these 4 teams, and we'll have an interesting talk next week when we have the aggregate for all 6 teams.
Yeah.
But we finished with overall average 10th ranked quarterback out of four leagues, 9th ranked tight end, and 9th ranked defense. So basically what that is saying to
me... And we're drafting these guys 11th, 12th, 13th round.
Absolutely. If not, like 11th might even be high for what we're talking. So to me, what this is telling me is that we're going double digits on this and really loading up on the other positions. And we're still winding up with top... Or with QB, tight end, and defense, one numbers out of what we're getting.
Yeah, exactly. And we're ending up with high end top three, four at the other positions in the general rule, and that's what led to this great win percentage. So I really think that everybody can look at this strategy for next year, and if you buy in, you have a shot.
And you know what? I don't see why you wouldn't buy in.
Because, and I don't see why we'll change it.
No.
You know?
I mean, I'm very interested in seeing this over two or three seasons and getting the numbers, you know, past that point. But I think, you know, for a first year, this is absolutely great numbers.
Yeah. This is, remember, we're only going to get better at this.
That's right.
And theoretically, so should you. All right, let's go through and make our picks for the week then. But those are awesome numbers, Brett. Thanks for doing that.
It was fun, actually.
It's fun to see this type of stuff. You know, when you it feels like a reward for your work.
Yeah, it does.
You get to see what you've done and understand it a little better
and prove your point as well. Like if we had wound up within the like the 17s and stuff like that with that one team, you know, you look at those numbers and you're like, well, how did we finish so high? Well, obviously the rest of our players just worked out so well that it powered us through. And, you know, I think that if we had seen those same kind of numbers throughout, or if we hadn't been successful, but more than anything else,
what I always hear about people in fantasy football is the injuries killed me. We had as many injuries. Like I said, we lost players like Charles. We lost Charles and Keenan Allen in one league, made the playoffs. We lost Le'Veon Bell, Keenan Allen in another league, made the playoffs. We lost, we have leagues where we lost, our first round pick, our third round pick, and we made the playoffs because we have so much depth at those other positions that we still have a shot. So it's not just the win percentage and finishing high there. It's the depth to overcome injuries because you haven't had to sell out on those other positions.
Oh, yeah, because if we had drafted a quarterback, and in the case of us drafting a tight end, third overall, we learned that it's just not worth it.
And one of the other things I want you to keep in mind here is our top team that went, 11 and 3?
11 and 3 was our top.
And won like 9 in a row or something like that, and was predicted to not win a game all season by the NFL because we drafted our quarterback in round 12 with Eli Manning. That team isn't in these.
No, they'll be in next week.
They'll be in next week. So we have our actual best team isn't even in these numbers. So that's interesting too. So let's do the picks here. We got the 6-7 Buccaneers against the 5-8 Rams. What do you like?
Well, I like the Buccaneers. I mean, the Buccaneers, they're not a great team. They're not really well coached.
They really blew it last week.
They
blew it last week and the Rams played tough last week. But we're still talking about, you know,
it's still
Case
the Rams.
Keenum.
Yeah, and I still just can't picture. At the end of the day, the Buccaneers just have more talent. I like the Bucs.
I just think Doug Martin's due for a big day here, and that will be the difference. The 8-5 Jets and the 4-9 Cowboys. The Jets got a lot more to fight for.
The Jets have something to fight for. The Cowboys are going to play out the string. I don't know why they're not going
to. Not according to. to their idiot owner.
Yeah,
well, Jerry Jones is, you know.
Their idiot owner is an idiot owner because I don't know. They should just shut down Dez Bryant for the season.
Let him play hurt and risk further injury when
they should? Yeah, like I mean, look at RG3 as an example. I mean, there's a guy that. You know, you played him when you shouldn't have, and you basically destroyed his career. I'm not saying it's going to happen with this, but, you know, there's no question. I mean, the Jets are a significantly better team now, and I think they're a better team even if Tony Romo's playing the quarterback position. So
I totally agree with you right now. Jets all day. All day long. Chiefs against 8-5 Chiefs versus the 4-9 Ravens.
Well, this one to me, I mean, again, no-brainer. I mean, the Ravens... You know, couldn't even mount even close to a semblance of an offense against the Seahawks. and the Chiefs have won 7 in a row. The Chiefs are a team to beat right now, and the Ravens don't have what it takes to beat them.
And it looks like the Chiefs could end up with it's amazing. They could end up, seriously, 11 wins this season. And when you think that they're at one point, they're, 1-5, and they'd be the first team since 1970, I think, to make the playoffs, starting off 1-5 is the way it's going. Like, it's really incredible. They even have an outside shot to win that division over the Broncos still. Like, yep. It's amazing. Buffalo is 6-7. They're on the road to the Washington Redskins, same record.
That's so hard. I mean, the Bills are, they have an okay team, but they underachieve, I think, because of poor coaching. The Redskins have a pretty average team. They underachieve because of poor coaching. I mean, it's really a pick 'em in this case. I think the Redskins are going to win, but I am only saying that because they're at home.
I think Sammy Watkins powers the Bills to a win, but it's super close. Houston Texans 6-7 against the Colts 6-7. This is essentially for the division. I hate seeing teams that are below 500 make the playoffs. I hope at least one of these at least finishes the 500, but there's no guarantee because we could have a very good team like the Chiefs, or the Steelers miss the playoffs this year with a lot more wins.
Yeah, well, I mean, the same thing can be said of the Redskins division, I mean, they're probably going to be under 500 too there. Now, in the case of the Texans-Colts, I mean, you've got T.J. Yates versus Matt Hasselbeck.
Best player on the field is J.J. Watts.
Yes.
Best overall team is probably the Colts. Colts are at home. J.J. Watts is still J.J. Watts. He's like two great players.
Yeah, J.J. Watt is a fabulous player, and it is because of him.
Yeah, J.J. Watt.
That I'm going to go with the Texans.
I agree with you. I'm actually going to pick the Texans too. I think they bounce back.
And I think they're going to force feed DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh yes, he should have a massive game. 3-10 Titans versus the New England Patriots 11-2. So the Patriots win that one.
Yes.
Moving on, the 13-0 Panthers against the 6-7 Giants.
So the Panthers win that one, yeah.
This is the game that the Giants always lose, that they push them, they lead until the last 2 minutes and lose. That's been the pattern all year. So I predict this is the game where the opposite happens. I go the Giants, though our official pick will be Panthers, but my personal pick is the Giants.
The thing is, the Panthers of late, since they've let Cam Newton be Cam Newton.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's completely scary.
It's all in the system and the quarterback, right? Because Ted Ginn, if he went elsewhere, I don't think he'd be anything. But he's just awesome right now, and it's all because of Cam
Newton. And their defense is just punishing.
Yeah. The Bears are 5-8, and the Vikings are 8-5.
I think the Vikings are one of the worst good teams in football. And the Bears are, maybe one of the better bad teams in football. But in this case, the Vikings, they just seem to find a way to win games. And so I'm going to go with the Vikings.
I agree with that. The Falcons are 6-7 versus the Jaguars are 5-8. But there's a sense that the 5-8 Jaguars are better than the 6-7 Falcons for sure.
By a long shot. I mean, the Jags still have a lot of questions. But, the Falcons are in epic meltdown mode right now.
One team is showing progression, one team is showing regression.
Yes, so, I got to go with the Jags.
Easily the Jags. The Packers 9-4 versus the Raiders 6-7. Don't think this isn't a game that the Raiders couldn't win.
Oh, the Raiders surprised the Broncos last week, and, given how Rodgers is playing, I think that if Khalil Mack gets on his horse and rides like he did last week, then it could be a very different game than a lot of people expect. I'm going to go with the Packers, but, it's not the lock.
I like the Raiders. I think the Raiders pulled down their upset. The Browns, they're 3-10 versus the Seahawks, 8-5. I think the fairy tale of Johnny Manziel season, I don't know if you'd even call it a fairy tale, but whatever. Luckily, winning two out of their three wins all season, he's going to get beat up. He's not going to just—they're not just going to throw picks. Like, he's going to get hit in the—they're going to talk about smash mouth. Nobody likes this prick, and he's going to get beat up.
And Seattle again—they find another—they find ways to win, but more so, they find ways to get pissed off at everybody. And that's where they are right now. Russell Wilson is playing the best. Like, he is.
He's the best he's ever played. I wouldn't say they're the best team in football. No. I would say they're the most dangerous.
Yes, they absolutely are. And the Browns are not going to be able to give them
no,
any.
No, not on the road. This is going to be nasty, and I'm going to enjoy watching every second of it. The Bengals are 10-3. The Niners are 4-9. Can McCarron on the road carry the momentum for the Bengals, or is he just bad enough to let the much superior team lose?
You know, this one's really hard because, again, the 49ers managed to beat some good teams, and yet they managed to get completely, you know, driven into the ground by a lot of teams. Overall, I'm going to go with the Bengals because they are the superior team.
I agree. I think the superior team is superior coaching, too. And this is where you think, this is where they potentially, that run game, this is where they got to get it going, and I think they will. Because they aren't going to have a choice. The Dolphins are 5-8. They're facing the Chargers, who are 3-10. The Chargers are arguably one of the worst two or three teams in the league, and the Dolphins are definitely the better team. But I think you got to say, this is the type of game the Chargers can win, don't you think?
You know what?
I think they're due.
They're due for one, but, you know, in fairness, I mean, the Dolphins aren't a very good football team. The Chargers are a worse football team. At the end of the day, this is a game that nobody deserves to win. And really, nobody deserves to watch this game.
That's probably true. Actually, the funny thing is it might be a fun game. But
because it's garbage.
It's a meaningless game.
I'm going with the Dolphins because the Chargers can't seem to figure out how to win, period.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I like the Chargers. But I think at least it's going to be high-scoring. The Broncos are 10-3. They're facing the 8-5 Steelers. I will always lean to the team with the better quarterback, and that is the Steelers. I picked them to beat Cincinnati last week. I think even with Dalton, they would have beat Cincinnati. But the one thing here, this is where we are really, you and I are wondering, because this is the best. I don't think the Broncos are just the best. They're too bad their offense is what it is, because they're not just the best defense this year. I think they're the best defense in the last few years. And Antonio Brown is going against them. And when you own him and you're in a playoff, it's like, do you play, a Jeremy Hill with a great matchup over a Antonio Brown in a flex position with a bad matchup, which is one of our decisions? It's so tough.
It's a horrible matchup. You know, I mean, I think after the Broncos lost to the Raiders, I think it was proven that you could. Brock Osweiler kind of came unglued.
I've never believed in him.
And I think that the Steelers, who just beat the Bengals, can do it absolutely again to the Broncos. It's going to be, I don't know what we're going to choose. You know, I know I'm going to choose the Steelers to win this game. I don't know which players I'm going to pick in fantasy yet. And that's going to be
It's going to be an interesting decision. Again, that's where, do we buy into this? The stats say, don't play Brown. But he's Antonio Brown.
And he's got Ben Roethlisberger.
I know. So the Cardinals are 11-2 and the Eagles are 6-7. Eagles have bounced back the last couple of games. I feel like the Eagles, if they weren't playing the Cardinals this week, probably could win that division. But I think this is too much for them to overcome.
I agree with that. The Cardinals are a team, you know, sometimes they find ways to lose. Or actually, more
they're the most balanced team, I think, in the NFL.
What the Cardinals find ways to do is the Cardinals find ways to make the games closer than they should be, but then they still find ways to win. The Cardinals will find the way to make this game closer than it should be, but they are going to win.
And then you have Detroit Lions and the Saints. Now, that's a Monday night game, and it's a shite game, let's be honest.
Yes.
For a Monday night game this late in the season, but that said, what's good about this is, fantasy-wise, this should be a really relevant game. And, man, I'm glad we own Stafford.
Yes, Stafford has a great matchup. The Saints are just so bad defensively. The Lions aren't very good defensively either. So, I mean,
this could be fun.
This could be 40-all. I really don't know. I'm going to go with the Lions.
Okay, I'm going to go Saints, but it's, like I say, it's a crazy close.
Yeah.
Because it's, the big thing is, like I say, I mean, Stafford, I love him, so it's like, does Calvin Johnson end up with all the points again? Does Golden Tate have a game? This is technically a great matchup for Ebron. But do you ever play in Ebron? He could very well be there to stream in your fantasy leagues off the waiver wires.
Well, keep in mind, Pettigrew is out, so Ebron gets the.
But do you go with him this late in the season? So there's a lot of there is a lot of questions there, and which makes it fun. I mean, at least it's a relevant game fantasy-wise, an extremely relevant game fantasy-wise. So at least we can give it that. Now, in the perfect challenge that we do on NFL.com, we're going to pick the best quarterback player of the week. Is it Tom Brady? I mean, I'm looking here at the stats, and as Russell Wilson's the number one pick, Brady's number two. I mean, you can't deny either one of them. It's just fantastic. Browns and Titans, you know.
Yeah, Cam Newton. Cam Newton is fantastic too because Bortles. Yeah, the thing about Cam Newton is that team doesn't have anything to play for anymore. You know, Brady still does to a certain degree. Hard not to like Bortles because the Falcons are a shell of themselves, and the Jaguars are still in play. You know, to be honest with you, I kind of like Bortles.
Really? You think Bortles is going to have the number one game of the week? I think he's good, but I can't pick him for the number one game over Brady or Wilson.
You know, Wilson, at a certain point, he's got to slow down, right? And I do feel like this could be the game because I think that they could just run all over them.
All right, we're going to go Bortles, even though I'm...
But you know? I'm fine going with Brady. Like, you know, Brady's going to win.
You think? Yeah. All right, good. We're going Brady then. All right, the running back, you know, the number one pick is Adrian Peterson. He's got the Bears. Gurley's the number two pick against the Buccaneers. Lamar Miller, Devontae Freeman, Eddie Lacy, Chris Ivory. The crazy thing is Doug Martin is way down there, like number nine on the list. Technically, I think he's the best matchup because he's facing the Rams, and the Rams' run defense, people don't realize how bad they are in fantasy.
Well, overall, I love Lamar Miller. I think that Lamar Miller has a great play going up against the Chargers.
Yeah.
And I think that he's going to get used a lot.
So I really like, let's go with those two. Let's go Miller and Martin.
Sure.
Because I think that's each kind of the guy that each one of us likes. The number one most popular pick is Doug Baldwin against the Browns. And it's understandable. Nobody's hotter. Nobody's hotter than, and talk about a guy who's just come on. Odell Beckham is the number three pick. But he's the Panthers. That's a really tough.
Yep.
And Antonio Brown is the number four pick. The guy I like is that guy who's number two, and that's DeAndre Hopkins. I think we're picking Hopkins. It's just
picking
a matter
Hopkins, for sure.
Who do we put with him?
Well, you know, I love with the Jaguars. I would say Robinson again. He's got a great matchup. You know, I would also think that Julio Jones has a great matchup.
Julio Jones will be very good. Yeah.
Where does he sit with that? Brandon Marshall. Yep.
I kind of like Brandon Marshall for just a safe. I know he's going to be great. He's, as you said, for us, because we own him like four times because he's been so consistent, he's our personal fantasy MVP this year.
Yep. Another guy who I think will be really good this week is Larry Fitzgerald going up against the Eagles.
He absolutely could be. But then again, it could be Josh Brown or Malcolm Floyd, too.
It could be.
Hell, it could be Nelson.
Yeah.
And the tight end, Gronk, is obviously the number one pick here, and he should be.
Yep.
Olsen, if he's got anything, should be good. Jordan Reed's number three, and I really like him this week, too. Ben Watson's also way up there. So who do you like as the number one guy for us?
Gronk.
Okay.
Injured or not, it doesn't matter. He just comes out there and, you know.
Stop him in the end zone. Stop him. Go ahead. Stop him. And same thing, we're just going to go Gostkowski because he's the number one kicker for a reason. So now it comes down to the defense. This is the Seattle Seahawks are the number one pick. I think that's really fair. Kansas City is the number two pick. That's also, again, really, really fair with the Ravens, especially if we don't know who's going to be a quarterback for the Ravens, though it looks like he still could be Clawson. Panthers are number three. Patriots. The Jets, even against the Cowboys, anybody against the Cowboys is your Pop Warner team around the corner.
I love
is good against the Cowboys.
You know, if we want to go away from one of those top two teams, then I love the Jets. Otherwise, I mean the Chiefs' defense going up against the Ravens is great.
Yeah, so we're gonna pick Seattle though because I really want to see him smash that big Johnny Manziel. What it was last week. There was a point in the game when I'm watching it, and there was a penalty against. The Titans that they were playing, there's a penalty, and he's like pointing, and he's just so cocky and so arrogant. He kept on like shooting a gun like first down, and he did it like multiple times. And I'm like, dude, you know what? You haven't accomplished enough in the NFL. In fact, if anything, you've been a jackass and a failure. to be acting like this. I just want to see somebody smash him in the mouth.
Well, this is the game that should happen.
All right, and I think that's about it. Other than that, we are, what is it we say? We're OUT, we're on at We Talk Podcasts on Twitter, we're Facebook/WeTalkPodcasts. You can reach us if you care to email us at info@WeTalkPodcast.com, though we do rarely check that. The other ways are better. You can leave a comment on the actual post in the website. You can subscribe in the top right-hand corner with your email and get all the posts that come on the website. And I think that's all I have to say. I'm OUT on my end. Brett, what do you got to say?
Well, we'll see you, and in this case, we'll damn well hopefully beat you.
Well, yeah, with money on the line.